You know, as we were singing these songs, there's so many words, so many thoughts that are in each one of these, Cheryl, that are in this message today. So when you hear it again, like, you're going to say, well, where did I hear that before? You just sang it. You just sang what is in the message today. So this morning, you know how I always like to start with an example, so I want to share this one this morning. Actually, as I was doing this message, I said to the Lord, actually yesterday, Lord, I don't have an example yet for this message. I don't have an example yet. And you know how I like to do examples. So this morning when I was reading my daily devotional, this was about as black and white and as slapped me in the face as it could get, because this was definitely an example of this message this morning. And I, of course, got up and I'm typing it up in my own words. But it goes like this. It says, there are 14 million different kinds of trees in Michigan. And every year, Michigan hosts an annual, what they call, big tree hunt. Okay? And with that, what they do is they find the oldest or the biggest trees, and they want to honor that tree as a kind of a landmark, okay? So there's 14 million trees. But this contest, I want you to understand, when they shared the story, I really, really appreciated where they came with it. They said, this contest elevates the ordinary trees. So in other words, when we walk around the state of Michigan and we see trees, we can't see the forest for the trees, okay? We don't really enjoy the forest. We're seeing the tree or these trees, and they all look pretty ordinary to us, right? I mean, for the most part, they all look pretty ordinary to us. But God says the same about us. But when they have this contest, the ordinary trees go to another level. When they do this big tree hunt, these ordinary trees that are in Michigan, that particular day, that contest, they get to be moved up to another level. They're not ordinary that day. People are more apt to stop and say, oh, let's look at this tree, or look at that tree. Let's go over and look at that. Okay, so they're not, at that moment, at that particular time of that day, they're not ordinary. They're coming out of the ordinary and they're actually being moved up a level. And that's what God does with us. We see ourselves as ordinary. Other people see us as ordinary. But God does not certainly see us as ordinary. God does not does the same. He notices the ordinary. God cares about the what and the who that others overlook. An example of this would be Amos. Now Amos, the Lord took Amos out of the flock that he was tending, and he said, I'm going to use you. He said, go prophesy to my people Israel. So Amos, who was just a shepherd keeper, he was ordinary, but God pulled him out of the ordinary and used him. And we know, of course, that he did the same with David. David was a shepherd. David was considered, well, so ordinary that when, you know, he was to be blessed, you know, and God called the first actual king that God calls to be anointed, you know, David to the family was even so ordinary that they didn't even go get him out of the field to bring him in to see the prophet. I mean, that's how ordinary David was. God knew and noticed Amos when he was just a common shepherd. But think about this. 100 years later, Jesus also noticed and called out ordinary Nathanael, and also Zacchaeus. Now, the thing about Nathanael was he was discouraged because he was a businessman and he had failed at his business. And what's he do? He gets under this tree and he's like, God, why? 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 I've tried so hard. And I've kept your laws, but why? So God shows him, and in the late, when he's down the road a little bit further, God shows Nathanael that, Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you under the tree. I saw you when you were discouraged and in despair. I saw you. Well, Nathanael is certainly by himself under that tree, so he knows that Jesus is saying who he says he is. Because nobody would have known that Nathanael was under that tree. And at that time, Nathanael felt very ordinary. very, very ordinary. Okay, let's look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax man. Of course, we know that. And when he heard about Jesus coming into town, what did he do? He wanted to see Jesus firsthand. But because he was a short kind of guy, he climbs up in the tree. And as Jesus goes by, he says, Zacchaeus, you come down from there because I'm going to your house today. But see, even though Zacchaeus was a tax collector, amongst all the other tax collectors, he was ordinary. He was actually even less than ordinary because he was short. The thing is, all of us, or by some tree or in a tree to some degree in a valley or on a mountaintop. And we still think that even when we're on the mountaintops that we're still ordinary. Now, again, we may feel like we're ordinary, but God says that we are significant. We are significant to Him. And again, the Bible talks about ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives. Just like Nathaniel, just like Amos, just like Zacchaeus. Why? Because they believed that God could work in them and that God could work through them. So sometimes when we're looking at other people that seem very ordinary to us, we need to stop and we need to pray for them and know that God can use them in a mighty way. And then look at yourself. Sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and say, who am I? What can I do? What difference can I make? It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. And that's the fact that you are God's. So another example is a man named Jabez. God gave him an honorable mention in 1 Chronicles. Are you ready for this? There are 9 chapters of genealogy. 9 chapters in 1 Chronicles about genealogy. But guess what? Right smack in the middle of those genealogies is who? Jabez. Jabez is right smack in the middle of all of those names. And God uses him in an ordinary way, in an extraordinary way. It says in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez cried out to God, or cried out to the Lord of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Now, there are these two verses give all the information that we need to know about Jabez. That because he revealed that he lived a life that was anything but average. Even though to others around him he appeared to be average, he was not. What was his secret? Well, number one, Jabez was ambitious. He had a great ambition to serve God. While many people are content with being average, they don't want to stand out. They want to kind of blend in. Jabez wanted God to do something with his life and something significant. Now, Jabez, again, was ambitious, but the most important thing about him was he was motivated to do great things. There's a difference between being ambitious and being motivated to do great things. We can be ambitious and do something negative with our lives. But if we're ambitious and we do things that are to serve God, to be motivated to do the right things, then that ambition and that motivation to do the right things are going to produce what? Great fruit. It's going to bring great fruit. So how do we know that Jabez's motives were not selfish? Are you ready for this? If you don't get anything else today, I always say it once at least during a message. Listen to this part. How do we know that Jabez wasn't motivated, his motivation wasn't a selfish motivation, like for himself? Because he says, bless me, God. That's what he says in the scripture. That's what he's praying for. Pray, bless me, God. Was that selfish? No. The thing is, God granted, it says first off in that scripture at the end, that God granted his request when he asked to be blessed. Because God knows our heart. And if we come with a selfish motive, you're not going to get that prayer answered. And if you do, you might wish in the end it didn't get answered, because maybe God was showing you, teaching you a lesson that you didn't care to have be taught to you at that time. But again, God granted his request. God will never honor an unworthy request. So knowing that when Jabez asked for a blessing from God, and God, he fulfilled that, honored that, it was because God knew that Jabez's heart was right. And because his heart was right, God wanted to honor him and gave him that request. So if we want to live an above average life, and we want to have big dreams, we are meant to what? We are meant to seek God. We are meant to come before him with a right heart, with a right attitude, because God will see through all that. He will see whether it's a selfish desire or not. So if we want to go through life wondering, what am I supposed to do, or where am I supposed to go? If we go to God and say, I want to know because I want to serve you. I simply want to know what direction you would have me go, because I want to fulfill what you've got his attention then. When you say something like that, you've got his attention. God wants you to have great ambition. He wants you to have a desire in your heart to serve him. Once you have that ambition, that desire to serve him, he will open those doors of opportunity. So here Jabez, another thing that he did, besides had ambition and a motivation, Jabez had growing faith. Jabez had a deep trust and belief in God, and there was no mention, if you'll notice in these two scriptures about Jabez, it doesn't talk about that he had great abilities. It doesn't talk about that he had a great talent. He was just ordinary. He was just an average kind of guy. But yet, because his heart was in the right place and his desire was to serve God, God used him mightily. But guess what? We always think, well, we got to have that talent. We have to have that ability. Well, yeah, it's nice to have that. But you know what? That's not what turns God's head. That's not what gets God's attention. It's our faith. And again, I talk to you many a time about our faith level being here and here. And that's good. We need to have mature faith. We need to grow in our faith. But before we even start with faith levels, we have to say, okay, where is our faith based at? Is it based on the government? Is it based on my family? Or is it based on my bank account? Or is my faith in God and in his word? And that's where Jabez was coming from. It had nothing certainly to do with his talents or with his ability. All it had to do with is his faith and his faith in trusting God. Faith is believing God will work through you, and also telling him that you want him to use you. That's faith. That's setting yourself up believing that God is going to use you. Like Jabez, we can take this time and use that ambition and use that faith to help God. We know, I like this, it says, we need to break through that mediocrity. And so I looked up that word, and I kind of realized that sometimes that's what happens. Satan goes through, and like I said, it's a battlefield of the mind. Satan goes through the mind first. He puts doubt and puts fear in you. First thing he's going to do when you go to God and say, use me, the first thing he's going to put in your head as a thought is, you don't have the talent. You don't have the ability. You don't have what it takes. You're just an average Joe. You're second rate. He's going to bring all this down to a notch where maybe I can't do anything for God. He's going to try to get you to believe that you are not worthy. Or he's going to say, well, you think after all you've done, God, you think God's going to use you? So Satan will do whatever he can. But again, if we take that faith and we take that ambition and we take that motivation, and God gives us the drive, he gives us the goals, he gives us the desires that he wants us to shoot for. Now, It says, and this is the scripture that Bill read this morning, big dreams require genuine prayer. Isn't that what Jabez prayer? That's the one that we were talking about this morning out of 1 Chronicles. But it says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So when I read that this morning, that just hit me like a ton of bricks because it was, of course, I'm thinking of my grandson. And the Lord said, you need to imagine. You need to see him healed. You need to see him delivered. You need to see him set free because nobody else is going to. You've got the faith. Your faith is there to believe that to be so. So you have to do that. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. If you know somebody that's so lost and so far from God, you need to stop and you need to say, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to envision this person being saved, set free, and on fire for God. I'm going to see them set free and forgiven. And I'm going to see in the spirit that they've been saved. That's what we need, because we're the only Jesus some are ever going to see. We might be the only one that's praying for that person. God wants us to live our life to the fullest. And part of that being living in the fullest is stopping and realizing that he's given us a vision. He's given us a dream. He's given us a goal. He's given us a desire. He's given us the motivation. He's given us all that we need. And at the same time, he's saying, all this is going on, but this is part of the ministry that I've given you to stop your world and realize that the heart I put in you is to pray for others, those that are going through dark valleys in their lives. Yes, I want to bless you. But when I bless you, it's so that you will bless someone else. I want to take you out of that valley, out of that darkness, and bring you into that glorious light so that you can go and share and give a testimony of what it was like to be in that darkness and say, I've been there, done that, but look what God did. Look what God has done. I'm a living, walking example of what God has done. And he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he can do for you. That's what we're here for. God also wants us, again, with that genuine dream that he's given us, he wants us to have that genuine prayer life. Jabez's prayer life was the secret to accomplishing what God had for him to do. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, wait a minute. He says, free from pain. Do you know what the word Jabez means? It means pain. His mother must have really went through a hard labor because that's what she named him, pain. That's what that word Jabez means, pain. Now, if you're being called pain every time she calls you to supper or every time she calls your name and she's saying pain, what would eventually, if you've had any feelings of feeling superior, after you hear the word pain repeated over you and over you and over you, doesn't that just finally start dragging you down, down, down? That's what he heard all of his life from his mother. It wasn't intentional. It was a name that was stuck with him. I mean, that's what she called him. But yet Jabez says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will not be free from, that I will be free from pain. What he's saying right there when he says, I want to be free from pain, I want to be set free from whatever happened in the past, and I want to move on, and I want you to bless me, God, now that I'm moving on, and I want you to enlarge my territory. But again, are we talking land here? He says, I want you to enlarge my territory. Well, yeah, he might be talking about land. But again, Jabez is always saying, is also saying, I want to go out there and I want you to enlarge my territory that I can share God. Share your love. Share what you've had me go out and share about you. So enlarge that territory of people so that I can minister. Okay, so it goes on. It says, we cannot out-ask or out-dream God. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think, just as Bill read this morning. So we can go ahead and we can stretch out our imagination to the greatest things that could that are possible that can happen. In other words, when we look at a situation in our life that looks impossible, we need to shut our eyes, the physical eyes, and stop and try to envision in our spirit. Just close our eyes, say, and you're not saying, well, I'm just shutting that out. No, you need to pray about that situation, but you need to see it in through God's eyes. You need to see where God can turn, how God can turn that situation around. And that's what it's saying here. It says, so we can go ahead and stretch our imagination. Use your imagination. Close your eyes and see what God can do in that situation. Use our imagination to the greatest thing that could possibly happen in that situation. Then realize that God can go even beyond that. Even beyond what we're imagining or hoping for. God can do one up on us and say, I can even do one better. Remember I told you about the boat? He gave him two boats. Because he wanted a perfect boat. It took two boats for him to have the perfect boat. But that's just like our God. So, number one, Jabez prayed for God's blessings. He prayed, oh, that you would bless me. Again, he didn't do it with a selfish heart. He did it because he had a right heart, a right attitude. Number two, Jabez prayed for God's power in his life. He prayed, let your hand be on me. He asked for God's power. And Jabez knew that if he got more land and larger territory, he would have greater demands and more responsibility. And that's the thing. When we ask God to do great things for us, he's going to expect more from us. He's going to want more, give us more responsibility. Okay? Then number three, it says, Jabez prayed for God's protection over his life. Now get this. It says, Jabez prayed, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Again, he's not looking at his past. He's looking forward to the future and what God has. But then it goes on to say here, it says, so why does Jabez ask God's protection? Because he knew the more successful you are, the more the critics are going to despise you and be critical towards you. How many of us have shared the gospel with somebody and, maybe with a friend and another person was sitting there and they're laughing at you or scorning you or, making jokes about the fact that you're talking about Jesus. We're going to deal with those situations and those circumstances. So the same is true for our Christian life. The closer that we get to God, the more we grow in God, the stronger our relationship with God, the more Satan's going to come at us and hassle us and discourage us. I must be doing something right, because after I felt like when I saw my son, my grandson, it was like a slap in the face. It was like Satan's like, take that. Take that, because this person means the world to you. And I'm here to destroy him. The moment you start seeing where Satan's come in and he's messing around with you, sit back and say, I must be doing something right. I must be doing something right, because he wants to knock me down a few slats. And that's what Satan will do. But that's what this prayer says. It says, protect me. It says, bless me. It says, protect me, provide for me. But the first and foremost thing, before we finish this message, is we have to make sure our motives are right. We have to realize that we look at our goal, we look at our dream. We have to make sure that we do it as like David. With a right heart, with a right attitude. And then do what Jabez did when he prayed. He prayed for God's blessing. He prayed for God's power. He prayed for God's protection. Then he watched God answer that. So when we've done all of these things, when we've prayed, get that Jabez prayer out. Type it up. Put it on your refrigerator. Put your hand on it. I mean, I've got a picture of Hunter. And I've got it out, and I put my hand on him every day. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing in his life. I cannot afford to go by what I see or what I heard. I have to go by what the book God promised me. And every one of us in this room have somebody like that. Every one of us, our hearts break when we think of this person and how Satan has dominated their lives. Let's get serious about these people. Let's take the time. Even if it's just saying, Lord, I know you got your hand on them. Lord, I know you got better for them than that. I know you're going to restore them. I know you're going to set them free. Don't confess what you saw or what you see. Confess what the word says over him. With this, in closing, I want to share this. A Jabez kind of prayer is a prayer to enlarge our territory. That's what this community is. That's what this ministry is. God wants us to what? He wants us to enlarge our territory. When we had this anniversary, we were able to reach out to 1,000 people through this ministry, through loving, and just loving on people, and sharing a meal with people. Over 200 people, close to 200 people came and ate here. We were able to just minister to them in love. Our goal is not to be a mega church, right? We know that. We're not to be a mega church. Our goal is to be a church with a mega purpose. With a mega purpose. But we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it in our own strength. It is by His Spirit and His Spirit alone. But we can be His hands, His feet, His voice. By what? Stepping out into this community, bringing food to other people. Kay, I mean, seeing how she's went to different homes with the children and talking to the parents. And the, you know, again, we don't have any children today, but you know what? We're not going to go by what we see. We're going by what God's doing. It's God's business. We're just supposed to be faithful to what He's called us to do, the here and now, right now. And God will take care of tomorrow. Yesterday's behind us. But He will take care of tomorrow. Right now, it is time for us as believers, as church, our church prayer should be this. Bless us, God. Enlarge our territory so that we can serve more and see what we can offer. Hope, that we offer hope in masses. Enlarge our territory, God, and enlarge our purpose. Amen. Cheryl, would you come on up? This is, at this time, we're going to have our communion. So I'm going to go ahead and pray over the communion, and then we're going to have you come on up. Father God, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that is ratified by the shed blood of your Son Jesus at Calvary, that his blood was shed on our behalf, and that he bore our sins, our sickness, our disease, our griefs, our sorrows, our unforgiveness, and our lack. And through his sacrifice, we have complete redemption and deliverance in Jesus' name. With that, our servers, would you please come up?